Great.
Awesome, awesome. So we've been going through a series on building on confidence, or at least this is for this month.
Amen.
And this is building on confidence with happiness.
Come on.
Because if you're not happy, your confidence, I think, comes from an arrogant spot. Mm-hmm. And God wants us to be happy so we can give like Jesus does. Mm-hmm. Now, I drove around Florida picking up printers at a grocery store, that chain that actually went bankrupt. And who's been here to Florida? I know Parker has been to Florida. But I love Florida. Yeah, I just love Florida because, I mean, everybody seems happy there. And I know that most people are on vacation, right? But they're supposed to be happy. But I was really enjoying myself driving around, seeing all these smiling faces, and it made me want to go back. It's fun being around happy, joyful people with not a care in the world type people, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And one time I saw this girl. She had a T-shirt on that said, "I love my church." And I was struggling at the time, and seeing someone announcing to the world that they love their church brought me joy. But at the same time, it brought me a degree of sadness because I wasn't feeling the same way towards my fellowship at the time. For a moment, the envy festered in my heart, and it brought me sadness. Now, there's a saying by a woman named, her name is Sarah Stewart, and she says this about motherhood. Let me know what you think. She says, you're only as happy as your least happiest child. What do you think about that? You think that's true? Now, I think that's to a degree is true, and I wonder if that applies to our Father in heaven as well. Mm-hmm. You know, God sees and feels and knows our sorrow in this world. And when we persevere with a meaningful happiness in return, he generously gives us fulfillment. Mm-hmm. You know, look, this is very good here. Pay attention to this sentence here. Happiness is only a byproduct of seeking something more than happiness.
Yes.
He who hungers something more than blessedness is the one who will be blessed.
That's right.
And my father was one of these people who he was an engineer, he's kind of geeky, and he loved hiking, and he also loved identifying plants and trees. And I really didn't care for it so much, but he had this book, and this is before the invention of the iPhone. He had these little books that there were plant and trees identifiers. So you remember those things? Mm-hmm. They were great. You know, if I had a tree with needles, and if the needles were like longer than 3 inches, I would turn to, say, page 18. And once you have reached the last part of that journey, identifying the plant, and you have identified or the tree or plant, I mean, you can read extensively about the trees. It's pretty cool. You know, at the beginning of this journey to identify the tree, you discover the tree is actually into two categories. The tree is either evergreen or deciduous, okay? So the ideal of a Christian is to be evergreen.
Amen.
Right? That's where our desires should be. Now, there will be times that we experience drought in our spiritual walk, and we won't be so evergreen. Or maybe there's a series of storms that will come through, and our leaves will just blow away and scatter. We are called to be a source of reliable happiness. The ones who are evergreen, where their temperament does not change by the wind.
Amen.
We need to be a source of stability. Sure. Even in seasons of extreme climatic weather, our emotions generally should be reliable. So deciduous trees can't give us a shelter all year around. And they could be bright in color and vibrant and a lot of saturation in colors in certain times of the year. You know, we went through a pandemic where I would consider it was a dark, bleak, cold time where there wasn't much human interaction. And it was difficult to be evergreen during those times. You know, during trials in our life, it's difficult to be evergreen. Whether dark times affect us, just individually or a whole, we don't want to be like a roller coaster, like tossed in the sea of emotions. We should strive to be like Christ. So let's go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 1. And I'm going to go ahead and read from 1 to 3. So, first chapter, 1 to 3. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by a stream of water, which yields its fruit in its seasons. And this leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. What things do we need to do to bring us in the presence of happiness? One who brings delight to himself, to others, and ultimately to the Lord.
Yeah.
So three things in this scripture. They meditate on the law of the Lord. Number two, the day and night. And number three, delight in the law as you meditate on it. Amen. So let's go ahead and break this down. So we not only need to study his law, meaning to have a scholarly view, but we need to meditate on it. You know, when we meditate on his word, we are inviting God's presence, fixing the mind on this particular truth from him, right, which is speaking to our hearts until God comes near to each one of us. And we feel his presence. Amen. So we're talking about truths of the Bible and pressing them down to our heart, kind of like an espresso. And number two, the second thing that we are being told is that we need to do it day and night. We need to be consistent because I don't know about you, but I am forgetful. And my guess, many people here are as well.
Yes.
And number three, is that we need not only to, only supposed to meditate on his law, but we need to delight by the law.
Yes.
You know, delighting in the law can have its challenges. You know, the Ten Commandments says, do not murder. And you will say, well, I have not murdered lately. But Jesus says at the Sermon on the Mount, well, you haven't murdered anyone, but have you had resentment towards someone? Maybe you haven't committed adultery, but have you lusted?
Come on.
So if you read about Jesus and what the law of the Lord requires and the standard he sets for us, like kind of like that movie that Richard just showed.
Yep.
The bar seems so high compared to the world, it may not delight you. Mm. You can fall, actually in despair.
Yeah.
You know, I have failed. Then, how do we remain evergreen? And the answer is through Jesus and only through Jesus.
Right?
That's right.
You see, Jesus Christ delighted in the law of God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, it says, then I said, here I am, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. You know, Christ yearned to delight in God's law. And it wasn't just the Ten Commandments. It was the whole stories from beginning to end. Parables, Psalms, and Psalm 119:15, it says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. You know, God wants for us is like the whole, what we say, the kit and caboodle from beginning to end. So we are not just supposed to be studying on his law, but we're supposed to be meditating on it.
Yes.
You know, some might have like a preconceived notion that meditating is not a discipline. Well, I've got news for you. It is a discipline. Mm-hmm. It's like getting ready for you know, the big game or the moment you're about to take an exam. It's comparable to, say, like getting into the zone. Meditation needs to be intentional. To meditate is to think deeply about what God has said to us in the Bible and prepare our minds and hearts for prayer. Scripture is the foundation of praying. Yes. Meditation readies us for it by helping us focus, understand, remember, worship, and apply. So there's five steps I'd like to go through to meditating on the Bible.
Come on, Dad.
Step number one, meditate to focus. You know, it seems like I, Scott, live for distractions. All right? And even though it's not harmful to squander a certain amount of time, at a certain point, the enemy will take advantage of this empty void. That precise moment by throwing temptation in our path that's not spiritually healthy.
Yes.
You ever heard of the saying, idle hands or the devil's workshop?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, it is. Focus on what you are reading. Now, I'm writing this down and I'm thinking, I better do it. Start a journal or the top 10 things you have gotten on your quiet time. Again, meditating is not a random thought. It's structured, purposeful. It that leads to a meaningful insight for our life. He is the God of order that brings order in our life.
Amen.
You know, chaos will push aside our happiness if we become complacent. So step number two, meditate to understand. In Psalm 119, verse 27, it says, make me understand the way of your precepts. I will meditate on your works. You know, meditation on his laws is not an Eastern philosophy where you sit in a lotus position. Understanding is hard, but you know, these difficulties help us mature spiritually and yes, ultimately become what he intended us to be.
That's right.
Now, I just like to insert the importance of understanding. And I don't know if anybody heard of, I'm sure everybody's heard of Robert F. Kennedy, but there's a Robert F. Kennedy Jr. out there. Mm-hmm. And lately he's been kind of, I would say, a healthcare advocate. And even though I enjoy listening to what he says, I am kind of distracted by his gravelly voice, and it wavers a little bit and pulsates. But I've learned recently of his neurological condition that prevents him from having ultimate control of his voice box. Mm-hmm. See, on a recent interview, Robert F. Kennedy said that, I mean, he had a strong voice up to 20 years ago. And one day he suffered from this rare disease where part of his brain that controls his voice box will randomly send electronics pulses. And some days, his voice will sound okay, and some days, there's little he can do on how his voice sounds. So whenever Robert Kennedy speaks in public, he always starts his presentation, or whatever, explaining why he sounds the way he does. Now, him explaining to me, but most importantly, me willing to understand, helped me.
Yes.
And I became more compassionate, a patient listener, and a little bit less judgmental. Mm-hmm. Now, our job and challenge are to try to understand, to make sense what we are struggling with. Meditating on God's law is much like, I say, taking calculus. One day, the answer to the equation will be revealed Amen. To you, and you will be like, well, that was easy. How come I didn't see that before?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's okay to share that you have been wrestling with something with others. Find someone yourself, what I would call a spiritual sucker, to help you. Now, I had a math teacher, and I was struggling with geometry, and he says, you know what you need to do is find yourself a sucker, which meaning find yourself someone to study with. And my grades improved after I got involved in the study group. So that's what we need each other. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, it says, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, meditate to remember. In Psalm 143, verse 5, it says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. You know, meditate on his law of success and don't dwell on the past. You know, King David, many forget, was an adulterer and a murderer, an incredible flawed individual. But the Bible calls David a man after God's own heart.
Yep.
And we shall by meditating on his law.
Amen.
Step number 3, meditate to worship. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. That's Psalm 1, verse 2. When we are meditating on God's word, we actually commune with him. Yes. And I am showing delight. Am I showing delight? And do I have a happy disposition? Or do I just reveal like this, my best side of me on Sunday or midweeks? You know, what we can do is emulate a character in the Bible who through their trials pushed through and meditated on God's law and lifted despair and burdens from their shoulders and became the light to the world. Apostle Paul. Number 4, meditate to apply. Joshua 1, verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it.
Amen.
Amen.
Finally, we are better able to understand how to apply God's law to our lives when we just slow down to meditate on it. Now, I just started lifting weights again after I don't know how many years.
Yes.
And working out just doesn't come natural to me. I actually have to do a kind of like out-of-body experience. I have a, you know, get out of my body, and I push the body out with my spirit. Get out the door. And I just focus on one step at a time, not to get overwhelmed. When we meditate to understand, we ask, what do I need to know? In applying what we have read, we ask, what do I need to do? Mm-hmm. What can I learn from this disaster, this experience, or even this moment of encouragement? Now, I went through a divorce shortly afterwards. I started to repeat the same destructive patterns. It wasn't until I opened up the scripture and started meditating on God's law, not Scott's law, but God's law, that my behavior began to change.
Amen.
In Titus chapter 3, verse 3 to 4, it says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, I mean, he saved us. Not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. And step number 5, meditate by the Spirit.
Yes.
It's no accident that the Bible often speaks about the value of meditation and its purposeful placement before the act of prayer. Consider that our time is in his law is like, I would say, running a race. Meditation is kind of like your warm-up. You know, I don't like stretching, but, you know, it does extend the athlete's life, and it's a discipline. Prayer is our our sprint to the finish line. We cannot be effective in our praying without engaging in the warm-up of meditation.
Wow.
So what do we do when meditation seems impossible, when our focus is affected by outside circumstances and our heart and mind feels dulled to God's law? You are just not feeling it. You're just not feeling it. We ask for and cling to God's gracious help poured out through the Holy Spirit. And if we have not meditated before today, like exercise, realize it's never too late to begin.
Amen.
For if the Spirit who helps us in our weaknesses fixing our eyes on Christ, giving us understanding, recalling God's wonderful works, filling us with joy, and leading us into a walk in his law of truth. He is the greatest help and hope for us. And we are never alone when we seek God through meditation.
Amen.
God through meditation, and he effectively prompts us to pray in response. We are all inspired by natural beauty, aren't we? We love yes. natural beauty. We all have stood on a mountain or a ridge along a beautiful coastline and viewed a beautiful sunset and thought to ourselves, God is glorious. But it took a degree of effort to get there. Yep. You know, taking a picture of a sunset in the mountains during a hiking trip when there's like the snow on the ground and your hands are cold and cold as ice. I mean, it takes effort. But you know that moment of self-denial will be well worth it.
Right.
That's sort of how, you know, meditation works. You need to thrust what you might want to do and to slow down and make effort to meditate on his laws. Mm-hmm. So just to recap, there's 5 steps to meditating on the Bible. Meditate to focus. Meditate to understand. Meditate to worship. Meditate to apply. And meditate by the Spirit.
Amen.
We have no right to happiness.
That's right.
But we do, as Christians, have an obligation to happiness. And I will leave you with this encouraging thought. You know the group YouTube?
Yeah.
I sometimes say YouTube, you know, and people are like, YouTube? No, YouTube, you know, the group from Ireland, right. And they have this title song, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For.
Right.
And there are many people walking this earth, rich and poor, young and old, ones that have been blessed with all types of degrees and abilities that still feel like the title of the song, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. Mm-hmm. But my brothers and sisters, we have. That should bring us an incredible amount of joy and happiness. So let's just meditate on that.
Amen.
God, Lord. Amen. Amen.